Oh, Lord, really does the teaching. We were still in lesson 13, am I right? And what number were we on? 40. Have you finished 40? Number 40 corresponds to 36. Namely, teach all nations. In other words, the key word in Christ's command, teach all nations, is the word all. You're liable to give that just a, like in a promise, without realizing it is on the church itself. It is a grave obligation that everyone, that means everyone, have the gospel proclaimed. But if that's the general obligation on the church herself, you won't expect the next sentence. It is a corresponding obligation on us to proclaim the faith to everyone who enters our life. Catholicity is not just a generic term. Catholicity is a specific obligation incumbent on each one of us. I may have mentioned the commentary, among others, of St. John Chrysostom, the great Greek doctor of the Church. Christ foretelling the last day in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel said we will be judged finally on whether we've fed the hungry, given drink to the thirsty, clothed the naked. He says the first meaning, the primary meaning of Christ's prophecy is that we are to feed those who are hungry for the truth. And that if we fail to feed the hungry in spirit, not teaching them revealed truth, we will not be saved. Our salvation depends on our practice of that charity which proclaims, shares what I possess of my faith with others. That means with everyone who enters my life. I don't have my hearing aid on. If you don't mind, I would prefer, and I made the recommendation to the women yesterday, who wouldn't mind the last 15 or 20 minutes of each class, if you would have short and the more concise the better questions. Is that fair? Say some 8:10 or 8:15 of each class, we would cover whatever questions you may have, rather than, if you don't mind, using time, because first of all, my hearing is not good, and secondly, I don't like to have, if I can avoid it, conversation in chapel before the Blessed Sacrament. To repeat them, in other words, they are in duty bound to practice charity. Christ singles out hunger and thirst as the two most fundamental duties we have in our practice of charity. Very well. But, I repeat, the fathers of the church tell us the food and the drink are symbolic of truth and love. We are to teach everyone who enters our life the truth which we possess in possessing the healthy faith. And we are to teach or share with others our love based on our faith. We go on. Number 41 corresponds to 37, Sacrament of Salvation. Best answer, I think, there is the church founded by Christ. This, as you know, is the term that the Second Vatican Council used. Sacramentum Universale Salutis. Not merely sacrament of salvation, but universal sacrament of salvation. No one is saved except by Christ through His church. And that preposition therefore includes us. We are bound. And to go back to what I said a moment ago, we are gravely bound to share the truth that God has undeservingly shared with us. And we cannot share true love unless it is founded on the truth. I didn't tell you what I think love is, which is not founded on the truth. Did I tell you? Love not based on the truth is a lie. Love not based on the truth is a lie. 9-word sentence, each a monosyllable. Over the years, I found things become clear when I use monosyllables. It is therefore the Catholic Church through which Christ has been communicating His grace since He died on Calvary, where the Church was born. The main reason why the Church must be holy, so she can sanctify others. Or you must possess the truth so we can share it with others. It is in the church that the sacraments are administered. And, as we'll see at greater length, and those of you that come to Ann Arbor this Sunday, we talk about the Eucharist, go on further, and we went last meeting, the Mass is a sacrament of the Eucharist, communicating grace to the whole wide world. As one of the great writers on the Eucharist declared, except for the Mass, St. Lawrence of Port Maurice, his full name, except for the Mass being offered daily on thousands of altars, the world would long ago have been destroyed for its sins. Sacrament means something which Christ instituted, which is visible and channels invisible grace. The Church is the primary sacrament, which then the seven sacraments are seven channels through which, but it's the Church that communicates the grace. Number 42 corresponds to 38, called the Second Vatican Council, Pope John the 23rd. It might be well to note that there have been two John the 23rds. Nobody ever told you. Part of the history of the papacy is there have been on rare occasion. Thank the Lord, we've got problems today. Here's one problem we don't have. We don't have an anti-pope. Two and once, even three claimants to the papacy. last John the 23rd, oh, Pope John was smart. He made sure that he would, in effect, define that my predecessor, centuries before, the late Pope John 23rd, was not a genuine pope, but I am. And for centuries, popes were afraid of taking the name John because they were not quite sure what should they do. Yeah. Would you close the door, please? So Pope John 23rd is the lawful Pope John 23rd. It might be well, it would be very enlightening to read. Are we all right? Am I still being magnified? And Pope John the 23rd convoked, that's the term, when he convoked the Second Vatican Council. Read it and weep. He said, I'm calling the Second Vatican Council to reform the Church of God, to strengthen the faith of the people of God, to make the faith more clear, more meaningful. Well, as a matter of fact, the Second Vatican Council did do that. But there are two Vatican Councils. The real Second Vatican Council and the pseudo. In English alone, I wager, and I'm safe in saying this, there have been at least 100 volumes on commentary on the whole Second Vatican Council in English that I know of. Already during the Council, the media, then the so-called Pareti. Paretus in Latin means, John? An expert. And Pareti is, of course, experts. They were experts, all that. I'm not exaggerating when I say the real Vatican II is unknown to most people. The real Vatican II in so many countries never got off ground. Over the centuries, there have been now, as we know, 21 general councils. Second Vatican was the 21st. Again, over the centuries, scholars have been at great pains to go back to these councils and find out what was said, not just what final decisions were. Final decisions of some of the councils may have been only 2 or 3 pages long. And even the Council of Trent, which was a long council from 46 to 63. But even the proceedings or the decisions of Vatican Council of Trent, I'd see at most 40 pages, the final decisions. To understand what a council is, you've got to go back to the acta. That word should be known, A-C-T-A, the act of the council. Now, the acta of Vatican II are still being worked out. It met, as you know, from 62 to 65. that prior to the actual convening, the formal meetings of the bishops. For, and I'm guessing now, but I would say, at least 4 years, the bishops of the whole world were apprised of what is going to be, well, discussed and voted on, and they were asked for recommendations. Because as part of my work, I know that the most contested document of Vatican II was the document Lumen Gentium. Remember, that's on the co-dogmatic constitution of the Church. And I was told by Cardinal Dearden, as I did odd jobs. Oh, by the way, I was to have been one of the paraitii of the Vatican Council. But it was Cardinal Dearden who told me that the most contested document of Vatican II was the dogmatic constitution of the Church. And the main issue was the authority of the Pope over the bishops. Be very clear. Their excellencies, oh sure. They're validly ordained bishops. No question. We talked about this, didn't we? They can validly ordain other bishops, priests. When these things happen, you'll never guess what I'm going to say. It's the devil at work. I've had enough experience over the years. All right. Now let me talk. That's it. That's the issue. And that's what Cardinal Dearden told me. But Paul VI worried, sweated, prayed, was that Lumen Gentium, all the talk about collegiality, great. I know a lot of people know how to spell it. Great. But there's no collegiality without the papal primacy. Without the papal primacy. I know you don't like this, but without the papal primacy, the bishops in the Catholic Church are Episcopalians. That, by the way, is what Episcopalianism means. Episcopalianism is a theology. I think I should say this because it belongs to number 42. Who remembers when the First Vatican Council closed? Who remembers?
1965.
The First Vatican Council. 1870. You know, some of these dates, they are convenient. Yes, people with baseball scores. Oh, they know them. And they know the batting average of... Well, so a bishop friend of mine sent me to sponsor a one-day program on Sunday in a big gymnasium to commemorate papal infallibility. We were good friends. And he asked me to arrange the program and get some speakers. So one of the speakers that I got was an Episcopalian. When I turned in the names to the bishop, he knew that I didn't drink. That I'm normally sane. So he called me up. He said, "John, that must be a mistake. No. Look, this is on papal infallibility." Yes, I know it's on papal infallibility. What's an Episcopalian theologian to do with papal infallibility? A bishop. You gotta trust me. This man will defend papal infallibility as no Catholic can. And the bishop, I think he had to think it over. So he said, all right. I hope he's Orthodox. Well, Episcopalian theologians spoke at this diocesan one-day rally commemorating papal infallibility. And he held that audience spellbound. He stole the show. He said, "You Catholics, don't you dare ever question the value of papal infallibility. I know. I believe that marriage is indissoluble. I believe that once a couple marry in a sacramental marriage," he knew his theology well. By the way, I should say, he got his doctorate degree from the University of Ottawa, and I directed his thesis. And guess on what subject? Guess, on papal infallibility. He wouldn't have got his degree if he hadn't been Orthodox. Then he illustrated, I repeat, he held the audience spellbound. He said, "I am pastor of a large church, Episcopalian church in northern Indiana. And people come to me having got a civil divorce. They want to, well, get remarried. So they can't do it." "You can't do it. It's against the teaching of Christ." "Teaching of Christ? You got a divorce. I knew you got a divorce, but Christ says you cannot remarry." They argued, they pleaded, and they threatened. "Do you realize how much we've contributed to your parish last year?" He had no idea. They told him. He didn't budge. They went to the bishop. The bishop called him in a couple of times. Afterwards, he gave up. He told him, "Now look," the bishop called in his pastor. "Look, Episcopalians, we're not Roman Catholics." Well, he says, "I know. You want to fire me? Go ahead." I think I should add one more note to that. I was teaching in North Aurora, outside of Chicago. And one night, his bishop, of course it was planned beforehand, he came to see me. His bishop came to see me. Far into the night, till past midnight, we talked. Till just about daybreak, here he is, low slung limousine, and drove back to northern Indiana. This pastor helped to convince his bishop he should be a Catholic. I just want to bring that out. Pope John the 23rd called the Second Vatican Council. And the real Vatican II, I can assure you, is totally consistent with Vatican I, Council of Trent, all 20 before. But you were not here when I made the announcement. I'd prefer if you wrote out your questions First of all, I don't have my hearing aid. I can speak better without it. And I'd rather not if I don't. We don't have to have conversation in chapel if you don't mind. So, now the universal sacrament of salvation, true and false. The church is absolutely necessary for everyone's salvation. And I put the adverb absolutely there to make sure. Of course, the other, you might say the obverse of absolutely is no one can be saved without. Once this dawns on you, and by dawning I mean once you grasp the meaning, your lives are changed. I mean it. Because then you realize, once you realize this truth, how indispensable every Catholic in the world is for the salvation of others. I got an invitation this evening, and I think I'm free on October the 10th to speak at the Michigan Right to Life Convention. So I'll talk to them, all right. And it'll be as Catholic as I can make it. Without the Catholic Church, there is no moral law in the world. Who would know it? And we've never had such a traumatic evidence of that as today. The most basic principles of the moral law. Like what? Like murder. Mother Teresa tells me when she speaks to political leaders, she tells them, once you've approved abortion, she's talking to politicians who've approved abortion in their countries. Once you've legalized abortion, you should empty all your prisons. Unquote, Mother Teresa. That's good logic. You've got no reason, no rational reason, for imprisoning or punishing anybody. Once you've legalized the murder of innocent children. So, this absolutely is more meaningful than may appear on the surface, believe me. And one reason that I'm spending this kind of time on each of these, you follow my own logic. I could go over and give a sentence or two, but I think I know. What you've got in these 36 lessons is a synthesis of a lifetime of teaching theology. And behind each statement is a whole history of revealed truth. Number 44. Whoever is saved owes the salvation of the church founded by Christ. Yes, and for the same reason. In other words, once you say that no one is saved, and this is a very contested article of the Catholic faith. You should all know the Latin. Extra ecclesiam nulla salus. Extra ecclesiam nulla, N-U-L-L-A, salus, S-A-L-U-S. Outside the church, there is no salvation. That's an article of divine faith. Defined on two occasions. And the one who has been most blasted for teaching is the Pope who issued Unam Sanctam. Does anybody remember? This would be who published Unam Sanctam? Please? I should, if I ask. Boniface the 8th? Did you say Boniface the 8th? It was. So the same holds for the 44 as we said for 43. But I want to bring out this, but I kept teaching my own Jesuit priests. Never teach theology, or whenever you're teaching, whatever you'll be teaching later on, or how many you give. Don't just teach the truths. Teach them, of course. But always, always apply those truths which are in the mind to the will. What we believe is to be lived, put into practice. And one of the finest meditations you can make is to meditate on some of the most profound mysteries of our faith and ask yourself, what are they? What are the practical implications in my life? What's the practical implication of this truth? If no one can be saved without the church, then, and I repeat what I've said before, but with emphasis, when we enter eternity, we're going to be judged on how many people we have brought to heaven. Am I making sense? And this is the heart of being an Ignatian or a Marian catechist. This is real. Number 45. Only professed Catholics belong to the Catholic Church. False. And remember, the distinction we made is between belonging to the church and being a member of the church. These are not casual words. In English, the closest approximation we can make to a person being baptized and having access to the graces that God confers through the church, but without being a full-fledged professed member of the Catholic Church, is belonging to the church. And by the way, it's awfully important in even in thinking your faith and talking about it to get your words clear. We've said enough about the English language, but you're such a seedy, such a confused language. You never really know what the words mean in English, as I've said more than once. Third International decided we can no longer publish a dictionary that defines the meaning of words. So what does it mean to belong? What does it mean to belong? So we've got to distinguish in our minds and find words that match a clear idea. Belonging to the church, as distinct from being a member of the church, means that a person is baptized. And we even at one time been a fully professed Catholic. Because it is baptism that, who remembers the phrase? The Latin phrase. Baptism is the anima ecclesiae. Meaning what? Baptism is the anima, door of the church. So that every baptized person belongs to the church. But not every baptized person is a member of the church. Now I repeat, this is my theological language on the basis of, you know, my knowledge of theology and to find words to express a distinction which is an important one. Do those who are baptized but are not professed Catholics nevertheless belong to the church? Yes. Now behind that statement, it's not a volume, it's just a library of explanation. But basically, it is to answer that question. False to say only professed Catholics belong to the Catholic Church. No. And that, in fact, if I didn't believe that question or statement 45 was false, I would not, from my earliest days in theology, have not got into Protestantism. My first book is also my bestseller, Protestant Churches of America. I would never got involved with the Protestants, teaching at the Protestant seminaries. You've got to love them. You've got to be nice to them. You don't call them heretics. Now, you know they're heretics, of course. But you love them. But what a difference. And telling people they're wrong, but you love them. You don't. No, it's just, it's basic Dale Carnegie theology. In other words, and I can prove it, it's the soundest theology that I can offer you. Every baptized person, in some mysterious, minimal way, what that way is up to God, and we could talk for hours, belongs to the church. Isn't that good to hear? So, for reason best known to the Lord, they were baptized. Okay. Number 46. Person in mortal sin do not belong to the church. Is that true or false? False. By the way, Puritanism was a late, 16th century product in the English speaking world. And of course, Pilgrim occurs. Does that occur in one of our national anthems, Pilgrim something? Pilgrim's Pride. Well, God bless them. But the Pilgrims, really, theologically, they go back, way back, to the early church. Those heretics that claim that Christ founded only a church of saints. Needless to say, of course, heretics themselves. Well, look at me. See? And by the way, the Pharisees are with us. He must be 90 years old now. But he had been a general in the Second World War. Came to know Padre Pio. Maybe I told you this story. And he was part of the American army that, you know, freed Italy from the Nazis. In any case, his base was near where Padre Pio's monastery was. She spent 2 years, he said, hours and hours of conversation with Padre Pio. And so when he asked Padre Pio, what would you say is the biggest problem in the modern world? Remember, I think I told you this. Hypocrisy. I like that. The worst sin of the modern world is hypocrisy. That covers a large area. In other words, Christ came to redeem sinners. And that means sinners, by the way. It's comforting, isn't it? Boy, imagine if only holy people could belong to the church. 47. The church brings grace to the whole human race. Okay. Father, you said that before. Well, if you notice I said it before, then you know the right answer. As you can see, I want to make sure that nobody misses what I consider one of the most important declarations of Vatican II. Now, What does 47 bring out that had not been brought out in, for example, speaking of the church as the universal sacrament of salvation? Or that nobody is saved except through the church? What's brought out is that it is grace, spelled G-R-A-C-E. It is grace that Christ communicates through the church. Who can finish the sentence of our Lord? I am the vine. You are the branches. Okay. Now, that vine which Christ is speaking of in John's Gospel at the Last Supper, that vine, of course, is Jesus Christ. However, Jesus Christ not only, and when he speaks of himself as the vine, not even as just the physical Christ. That one person, both human and divine, that Mary conceived and gave birth to in Bethlehem. No. That's not merely the physical Christ. It is the mystical Christ. And what's another word for the mystical body of Christ?
Church.
The church. In other words, just as a vine has branches. And if the branch is withered, first of all, it withers because it doesn't get its strength from nourishment from the vine. And what else did Christ say about branches? They should be cut off. In other words, all of this was surfaced by 47. The church brings grace to the whole human race. Thanks. I appreciate that noise. But it better be the Catholic Church. Christ confers grace only through the truth. Hear it. Only truth is a channel of grace. Only the truth, only the truth. And we receive as much grace as we're in possession of grace, of truth. That is why I hope and pray, by the way, I did ask you to share already, even if you have it today, and before we break up, something, did I ask you to share something about yourselves? Because I need to know. We reached a point, I'm going to Washington, as you probably know, on Friday, and I'll be back Saturday night. But I had a long, beautiful letter from Cardinal Innocenti, by the way, the president of the Commission for Ecclesia Dei, or Pro Ecclesia. There's a lot of work. Oh, my friends. Mountains. The Rockies are nothing. But the amount of work there is to be done for the church. I mean every syllable. Who's going to do it? There'll be people that have the faith, know the faith, are ready to die for the faith. Can't be just pious talk. Okay. So, number 48. By the way, I would like to have some questions if I could. Are some of you prepared for some questions? So we don't lapse into. Now, my questions, I mean, and what we should maybe do is distribute some 3x5 cards or something like that. If you don't mind, I'd like to, at least 15 minutes, if it's okay, feedback from you people. Okay. So 48. Grace can convert through the church, church's teaching, a revealed truth. Let me tell you, how many people have glib answers? How many people have a good memory? They remember all kinds of things which they just do not understand. Man's statements. Grace is conferred through the church's teaching of revealed what? Revealed truth.